One of those days where the FaceTime might be a no-go. Speaker on max all night.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com. And you can find me on Twitter, as always, at redrock_bball. I'm currently knee deep in the projections over on basketballmonster.com. Really looking forward to getting those sorted and finalized. Knee deep also in the Red Rock Dynasty League rookie drafts. I'm going to have a podcast on the results of those next week, so stay tuned to that. But what we're going to be looking at in today's podcast is players from the Eastern Conference, one from each team, who find themselves in a worse situation than they were in last season for their overall fantasy value. So Michael Bolton, he's standing by.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it. We will start with the Atlanta Hawks. And a player on that team who I think is in a worse situation than what he was last year is Kent Bazemore. Bazemore played 28 minutes per game last year and actually was a top 70 fantasy player, with the Hawks clearly changing up their direction. Yeah, drafting Trae Young, drafting Kevin Huerta, bringing in Jeremy Lin, and Bazemore on an unappealing contract. I can see Kent having his, not only his playing time reduced, but also his usage reduced. He took over 10 shots per game in the 28 minutes he played last season. And with Lin and Young coming in with a larger role, most likely going to the Baptist John Collins, I can very easily see Bazemore's minutes and production being shunted quite far down the list there, and I would be absolutely flabbergasted if he was a top 70 player again for next season. Of course, it could happen. Anything can happen, but I don't really see that being the case. I still think there's a chance he can be a top 100 guy, depending on how things work out in terms of the playing time. But I think it might be an early season, a lot of minutes for Baze, and then that dips off later on as someone like Kevin Huerta, or yeah, maybe it's Tyler Dorsey, maybe it's DeAndre Bembry, or maybe Jeremy Lin gets healthier and we see those guys take minutes away from Bazemore. You know, I've been one of the bigger Bazemore detractors in terms of his actual NBA playing ability. Looks like seems like a great bloke, got nothing against him in that regard, but I just don't believe that he is an NBA caliber starter, and I think we're going to see that playing time reduce this season. He does get steals, he does block shots at a pretty good rate, he can get assists, although I think that will dip this season with Trae Young there on board, maybe taking away some of that playmaking opportunity for Bazemore. So I do think that his situation is considerably worse for this coming season. We'll see how that pans out, but I'm not massive on Bazemore, as you guys, if you listen to this show regularly, would be well aware. Let's look at the Boston Celtics. A pretty straightforward one here, I think, and that's Marcus Morris. I think he is in a worse situation this season than what he was last year. He ended up playing 27 minutes per game last season. That still couldn't crack the top 150 for fantasy. He was outside the top 160 because he's inefficient. He doesn't do anything defensively. He rebounds at a poor rate. He doesn't get assists. He's in those 27 minutes, he was not ideal. And then this season, with the return of Gordon Hayward, that's going to really impact Marcus Morris. It's not going to be Jason Tatum that loses chunks of minutes so that Hayward can get back in the rotation. You're still going to have Aaron Baines playing his role when they need a bigger body in there. So it's going to be Morris that loses out pretty considerably this season. And I think if he ended up being a top 200 player, I'd probably be a little bit surprised. Now, of course, injuries can always happen at any time. We saw it happen to the Celtics plenty of times last season. But when we look at it on the outset, assuming people are going to be healthy, Morris is going to find it pretty bloody difficult to get back to that same amount of playing time that he saw last season. And even in that playing time, he's not a fantasy asset. He needs 32, 33 minutes to even, you know, really come close to sniffing that top 100. And of course, he's got no ability to get there this season. For the Brooklyn Nets, Spencer Dinwiddie, this might be, a controversial one, maybe not controversial, but people might disagree with this one. But Spencer had a great year last season, playing almost 29 minutes per game and being bang on the 100th ranked player in fantasy last season. But of course, so much of that value came because Jeremy Lin was out for the whole season and D'Angelo Russell played only 48 games. And we saw at the end of the season when Russell returned that Dinwiddie was moved back to the bench and his minutes came down to in the mid-20s instead of pushing up close to 30. He is inefficient, only 39% from the field and 33% from three. The assists were nice, but still didn't generate big steal numbers. We know he hit a ton of game-winning shots and was great for this team in an on-off sense. Really strong there, but does that mean he's going to get those 29 minutes per game again this season? I'd be highly doubtful. Not only is D'Angelo Russell hopefully healthy for the whole season, but they also brought in Shabazz Napier as well to be a point guard on this team. So I think that Dinwiddie is going to struggle to get that same level of playing time. So therefore, he will struggle to be a top 100 guy, which again, he was right on that mark last season. So his value, I believe, takes a decent tumble for this upcoming season. Maybe he only plays 2 to 3 fewer minutes this year, but still, he's not going to be able to find himself in that same role as last year. And it might also fall pretty considerably. He could end up getting traded to another team as well and find himself in a much lower role or a role that involves way less minutes overall for the Brooklyn Nets point guard. Love Dinwiddie, one of the only players in the NBA who came in rocking a mustache straight out of the draft. I love what he can do. I think he can be a solid player, but that shooting inefficiency is a real problem and it does have an impact on his overall value, plus the investment that this team has in D'Angelo Russell and then bringing in Shabazz Napier, and not to mention that Caris LeVert's role as a point guard is pretty bloody good at that role as well. So it will be interesting to see exactly how that all works out. But I think that Spencer is in a worse situation this season than what he was in last season. The Charlotte Hornets, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, I've talked about this on Twitter the other day. I think that Mick is in trouble of losing his starting job. Nick Batum, I believe, is going to slide up to the small forward position with James Borrego now there as a coach. That means that Malik Monk or Jeremy Lamb are going to move into that starting shooting guard spot. So someone needs to move. Now, will Kidd-Gilchrist go from small forward to the bench, or will Marvin Williams go from the bench and Kidd-Gilchrist moves up to the power forward position? I guess that's the discussion we have to have. I think there's a legitimate chance that Kidd-Gilchrist is 100% out of the rotation at some point this season. Remember, Dwayne Bacon and Miles Bridges have been drafted in the last two seasons. They're both small forwards. Frank Kaminsky and Marvin Williams are at the power forward position. You've got Cody Zeller, Bill Hernangómez, and Bismack Biyombo at center there as well. So if this Hornets team likes what Bridges is doing, you could have a Batum-Bridges small forward rotation, and that leaves Kidd-Gilchrist out in the cold, especially when you've got Williams and Kaminsky running at the power forward spot. Now, you could easily make an argument that Kidd-Gilchrist could be a better option there at power forward than Marvin Williams, and Mick still hasn't turned 25 years of age, so there's still something there for him. But he played 25 minutes per game last season. I'd be pretty stunned if he gets back to that level, averaging 9-4, and the defensive numbers fell off as well. He was a guy that in the past had been able to get you a steal and a block per game, put up a good field goal percentage. Of course, he's hitting no threes, he's getting no assists, and he was a strong rebounder. I think his rebounding numbers can go up this season as he plays a little bit more at the four, and also without Dwight Howard there, who does inhale a lot of rebounds, that could help Kidd-Gilchrist. But I do think that his place in the rotation is significantly under threat, and his minutes are almost certain to tumble for this upcoming season. The Chicago Bulls. Punch Bob Shiploke, Bobby Portis, put up some strong numbers last season, especially after he bashed in Nikola Mirotic's face, and that allowed Mirotic to request a trade. Portis played 23 minutes per game and averaged 13-7 with a 3 per game, 47-77 as his percentages. But the Bulls did draft the Block Panther, Wendell Carter Jr. They did sign Jabari Parker, who is ostensibly a 4, even though the Bulls are trying to square peg around hole him into the small forward position. So Portis, I think it's going to be hard for him to get those 23 minutes per night. You could make the argument that Robin Lopez is going to be traded at some point, and I think that's a fair assumption. We just don't know when that's going to be. And when that does happen, Portis should be able to slide back into that backup center role. But I think that Lauri Markkanen's ideal position is at center as well. Of course, with Wendell there, he's probably never going to be a full-time center. But I'd like to see Lauri Markkanen get back up center minutes alongside Jabari Parker playing there at the four for this Bulls team. So I think Portis' ability to go out there and have such a high usage, 26% usage last season with the addition of Carter and in particular the addition of Parker, he's not going to be able to put up a 26% usage rate. And getting those 23 minutes a night early on, especially while Lopez is around, is going to be pretty tough sledding for Portis, who probably comes in now as the backup four and loses a lot of his backup center minutes. And if Markkanen's getting 32, 33 minutes a night, which is a possibility, Portis is not going to be able to get those 23 minutes per night. So he is a restricted free agent. He's heading into his fourth season. He has a really piss poor defense, poor vision, but he can put up points, he can put up rebounds, and he can do it decently efficiently, not super efficient. He's a below league average true shooting player, but he can, you get those numbers up. But if the usage does suffer, which I think is a possibility, and the minutes suffer, his fantasy value is going to fall relatively significantly this season, I believe. Not that he was necessarily massive last year, but I do think that he will fall down. He was the 127th ranked guy last year, and his lack of defense and assist numbers is always going to hold him back from being an elite fantasy option. The Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, this one, again, I'm not certain on it, but I think that J.R. Smith is a player who finds himself in a worse situation. He doesn't have his buddy LeBron James around. The team is still looking to be competitive, but they're not going to be overly reliant on their aging veterans. And let's be honest, J.R. was not good last season. He wasn't good the year before. He was the 233rd ranked player last season in 28 minutes per game. 40, 69, and 38 is his percentages.
Giggity!
Doesn't do anything with assists, doesn't get steals, doesn't get rebounds. He hits his threes, but doesn't do really much at all. And with the Cavs recently signing David Nwaba, Kyle Korver's there, Colin Sexton and George Hill might share the backcourt at times. I said Kyle Korver's name, Jordy Clarkson. They're also, they haven't decided on Rocket Rodney Hood. I think he'll be back with his team. I can see JR's minutes going down fairly significantly. And much like Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, there's a legitimate chance, probably unlikely, but there is a chance that he will find himself out of the rotation on certain nights. Now, Ty Lue is a poor coach who makes poor rotation decisions, so that could enable JR to remain in his rotational role, but I think him getting anywhere close back to what he was doing last season in terms of playing time seems unlikely. The guy is also 33 years of age, so an extra decline could be coming for Smith, and I think that he, with the new direction of the team, with hopefully them looking at Hood a little bit more of a role for Chetty Osman, bringing in David Nwaba could mean some trouble, and drafting Colin Sexton, of course, could mean some trouble for the plumber, J.R. Smith, for this upcoming season. The Detroit Pistons. Ish Smith put up some pretty strong numbers last season, so much so that people, and I disagree with this completely, look at him as being a guy that should have been starting over Reggie Jackson. Now, I vehemently disagree with that. He played 25 minutes per night and averaged 11, 2.5, and 4.5 with 0.8 steals and actually shot fairly well, 49 from the field. He's not a good shooter, as evidenced by the sub-70% free throw shooting, but he was okay in that regard and was the 178th ranked player. Now, with Dwayne Casey in Detroit, we don't have the Stan Van Gundy nonsense theory of my point guard can only play 29 minutes per game max, therefore my backup is getting 20 minutes a game. With Reggie Jackson hopefully healthy, we should be seeing Casey giving him more minutes with guys like the Shark, Bruce Brown, Kyrie Thomas, Luke Kennard as young guards, a couple of those who can handle the ball as well. I think that Ish's ability to get back to 25 minutes per game is highly doubtful heading into this season. And yeah, look, if an injury does befall someone like Reggie and Smith is pushed into a starting role and plays 32 minutes a night, then of course he's going to be valuable. But even as a backup last season, he was challenging for value at certain points, especially in, say, 14 or 16 team leagues. And I just don't think it's going to necessarily be at this level, as Reggie probably plays 2 or 3 extra minutes per game this season, and that has a direct impact on Ish. And again, I'd really like to see them run with guys like Kyrie Thomas or the Shark or Luke Kennard at point guard, very similar to how Dwayne Casey used DeLon Wright, who can guard the 2 and the 3 and can play off ball, but is also a point guard at times. So it'd be interesting to see if he uses any of those thought processes on his new team here in Detroit. Unsure, uncertain, but it's a definite possibility that could be something that happens. The Indiana Pacers, Darren Collison. There was a couple of options I had here. I thought that Domantas Sabonis might struggle if Miles Turner got his head screwed back on with the addition of Kylo Quinn, the return of Thad Young, with Dougie McDirt, who plays a little bit of the four. Some of those front court minutes could have been squished for Domantas, who played a pretty significant chunk of minutes last season, 25 minutes per game. But I went with Daz Collison, who only played 29 minutes per game. Nate McMillan, he was their best point guard, and McMillan would often change those minutes around somewhat and give Corey Joseph 27 a night, as we saw. Collison, yeah, shot 47% from three, remains one of the best unknown three-point shooting guys in the league, averaged 12 and 5. He's also an underrated ship bloke as well, with some domestic violence charges against him in the past. But I think with the advancing age, the way that McMillan treated him last season, plus the drafting of Aaron Holiday, and also the signing of Tyreke Evans, makes Collison's role a little bit more doubtful for this upcoming season. Now, he might only see one or two fewer minutes, but we're going to see Tyreke Oladipo combination backcourts. You're going to see Aaron Holiday get squeezed in at times, not in a huge role, but I could see Collison, and while I still think he will be the starter, I can see him being a 28 or 27 minute per game guy, as opposed to a 29 minute per game guy that he was last season. Plus, he'll turn 31, so maybe some of that legendary type efficiency that he had does drop off. He's not a high assist guy. He's an average type steals player. I think there is going to be a drop off. Now, he was the 60th ranked guy last season, Dazza. I think he can probably still be a top 80 guy, but I reckon the floor risk of him, or the floor significantly lowers for Collison this season, just because of the additions of Holiday and Tyreke, the advancing age of Daz there as well. Plus, he's had a few knee injuries over the past couple of seasons, which could provide somewhat of a problem for him as he moves forward into his in his career. The Miami Heat, a couple of guys I want to touch on here. Hassan Whiteside, I'm not sure it's necessarily in a worse situation, because he played only 25 minutes per game last season and dealt with a knee injury. That could rise, but Bam Adebayo is also better. He's 1 year into his NBA career. He could be challenging for more minutes. Kelly Olynyk was the best center on this team last season. He only played 23 minutes, and we saw Whiteside basically eliminated in the playoffs. So that's a risk there. But the guy I'm going to go for is Tyler Johnson, who somehow found his way to 29 minutes per game last season, was a top 140 guy, averaging 12, 3 and a half and 2. But we have to remember that Deion Waiters barely played last season. We only saw Waiters for 30 games. Yes, Dwayne Wade's not back on this team currently, but what I can see happening, Wade would only play 21, 22 minutes per night, and there was that big chunk in the season where Waiters was out and Wade hadn't come, and that enabled Johnson's playing time to bump up. If Waiters is back and fully healthy, which is a clear doubt, I think he comes back and plays more than Wade, so there's going to be that minutes discrepancy there. Is it 21 that Wade played and 27 that Wade has played? Well, there's 6 minutes that have to go away from that shooting guard spot that probably come off Tyler Johnson's numbers, and he will likely move more into a backup point guard role with Waders and the Duke Wayne Ellington taking a lot of those minutes at shooting guard. Plus, the Heat apparently really like Derek Jones Jr., who showed quite a bit in Summer League. I'm not a massive fan of Jones, but he showed quite a bit in Summer League. I think Tyler could be in a bit of trouble, and even over the last 2 months of last season when Wade was around, he played under 27 minutes per game, and I think he could be finding his minutes drop pretty precipitously this season, especially, again, if we see Rodney McGruder be healthy more for the season, we see Justice Winslow take steps forward, plus Deion Waiters returns. I think that Tyler Johnson is in a little bit of trouble to be able to repeat the numbers that he was able to put up last season. I think the next one's pretty obvious. It's the Milwaukee Bucks, and it's the Muppet John Henson, who played quite a few minutes last season. I think people would be surprised that he got 26 minutes per night. Those minutes jumped up once Jason Kidd was removed from tinkering with the rotation, averaged 9-7 with 1.5 blocks on 57% shooting, and that made him a top 140 player. But of course, in the playoffs, we saw him taken out of the starting lineup and then dealt with back issues. Thon McCur started at center. We had Tyler Zeller getting some of those minutes at points last season as well. But then the Bucks also brought in Brookie Lopez, who I imagine is going to be the starter, and I imagine will play significantly more minutes than the 23 he played last season for the Lakers. That's going to impact Henson, and if McCur is definitely ahead of Henson, that pushes the Muppet from starter down to third string. Tyler Zeller is still on the roster. He could end up being waived at some point. I think it's going to be a pretty precipitous fall for John Henson next season after he played 26 minutes per game. There's a chance he is not an every night part of the rotation, and those that playing time really does dip for him as we head into this season. So that is something for us definitely to pay attention to, and I don't think he's going to be really anywhere close to being a standard league player. The New York Knickerbockers, it was a little bit hard for me to find a guy on this team who is finding themselves in a worse situation. The guy I'm going to go for is Courtney Lee. He is going to be 33 very soon, and he played 30 minutes per game last season. But David Fizdale was pretty clear in the offseason when he came out and said that Tim Hardaway Jr. and Courtney Lee are shooting guards, and they are not small forwards. We had those guys starting at the 2 and the 3 respectively last season. So if they're both going to be pushed into the one position, Lee is going to be the guy that loses out, so Hardaway gets that starting job. Of course, Mario Hezonja has been brought in, the Fort Kevin Knox. They can handle the 3 and the 4 position. So I think Lee, while he's not a great fantasy option, he was a top 120 player last year in those 30 minutes. We saw him voice some frustration with the organization. He did play on the bench last season. We saw more Trey Burke, Frank Ntilikina backcourt combinations as well. I think that Lee is going to be really, really hard-pressed to find his playing time at that 30-minute-per-game level last season, and a real solid guy that he was last year, efficient shooting, 41% from three. He gets steals, he hits the threes, he's got no upside whatsoever. And even that solid floor that Lee has been providing for the last couple of seasons, I think that that is probably going to fall out as we head into these this coming 2018-19 season. The Orlando Magic, Nikola Vucevic. I think he could be in a little bit of trouble. He did battle the broken hand last season and played under 30 minutes. Still was their best fantasy player, averaging 16-9 with a steal, with a block, and with a three. And I really like Vucevic. I think he's a solid player. But with the drafting of Mo Bamba,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
With Aaron Gordon re-signing, with John Isaac being healthy, with Kem Birch showing flashes last season, I think that Vucevic is a clear candidate for a trade for this team, so they can open up minutes for Bamba at some point later in the season and play a little bit more of Isaac at center. And even when everyone is around, I think that Vuce could drop down to 28 minutes per night because of the presence of these guys, because of the new head coach in Steve Clifford, who likes more defensive orientated centers, similar to, you know, Cody Zeller, Dwight Howard, not these offensive guys. And I said, I really like Vuce. I think he can be a useful fantasy guy. And if he gets 30 minutes per game, he's a clear top 40 guy, in my opinion. I just think getting to that level is probably going to be a little bit of a stretch for him this season, just with the direction the Magic are going and the change in coaching staff and, you know, the already decrease in his playing time. Really respect what he does, but I think it could be just a little bit ugly for Vuce. Start of the season might be fine. I think he still has probably a top 60 type season, but not the 35th ranked year that he did have last season. That could be a little bit of a problem for him to get back to that same level. For the Philadelphia 76ers, I was debating whether I throw Dario Saric in here. I know that I was down on him last season, and he surprised me as they were able to play him alongside Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, which I wasn't sure about. And I kept saying, I think that, you know, Saric could lose playing time when Markel Fultz come back. Well, it turns out Fultz basically never came back. But there's so much hype and positivity around Markel at the moment. At some point, he is going to play minutes, and it's going to hurt someone. Now, will it be JJ Redick? Maybe, but they need that shooting. Will it be Ben Simmons? Of course it won't be, but that will mean that if Fultz is playing at point guard, Simmons is going to have to push up a position. It could be Robert Covington that loses out some playing time there, but I think that Saric is in a little bit of risk at not playing the same 30 minutes he played last season. But the obvious one to me here is Amir Johnson, who played 74 games and 16 minutes per game. Now, it might seem counterintuitive with Rashawn Holmes being shipped out of Philadelphia that Johnson could be in for a worse role. But I think that Saric, with that squeeze with Fultz, will play more at backup center. We had Jonah Bolden brought across, and I think he will play some backup center there as well in Philadelphia. And I think a mere 16 minutes per game could be reduced down. He was hardly a top echelon, upper echelon fantasy option. But for those of you in deep leagues, he was providing a steady presence. And I do think with more Saric at center, more Bolden in the mix here, And with more of that, Fultz in that lineup, I think Amir could be in a little bit of problem, but I wouldn't have any issue with having Šarić there as a guy who could potentially dip, as well as even JJ Redick, who was the 76th ranked player last season. Both him and Šarić could see their playing time dip, even if it's by a couple of minutes, but I wouldn't say that their situation got better in this off-season. Let's look at the Toronto Raptors now. Dillon Wright. I like Dillon Wright. I think he's a very, very good player and a very strong fantasy player. He was the 156th ranked guy last year in only 20 minutes per game. But of course, the Raptors did bring back Fred VanVleet, who also played 20 minutes per game. Now, Dillon plays the one, he plays the two, he plays the three. But the Raptors traded away DeMar DeRozan and brought in two more wings in Dan Green and Kawhi Leonard. So there are minutes there. You could say if Leonard's playing 35 and Green's playing 30 minutes, that's 65 minutes as opposed to the 34 or 35 that DeMar was playing. So 30 minutes have to come out of that wing rotation somehow. Now, CJ Miles is probably going to be eliminated from that rotation. The Jedi, OG Anunoby.
Hello there.
He probably moves up and plays a lot more at the four, but I think Dillon is going to struggle to replicate exactly what he did last season. Because of the arrival of Green, because of the arrival of Leonard, and because VanVleet returns there also, they could also, with Nick Nurse, look to reduce Kyle Lowry down from 32 a night to 31 or 30. I think that's highly unlikely, though. So I think Dillon's in at a little bit of a risk of losing some of his value for this coming season, which for those of you in even 14-team leagues, that can be an impact thing, because he was a guy that put up pretty strong numbers for the majority of the time that he was out on the court. The last team we want to talk about is the Washington Wizards in today's show, and we're going to look at Markieff Morris. He missed the beginning of the season with a hernia issue and ended up only playing 27 minutes per night, which was fewer than Kelly Oubre Jr., but I've mentioned this concern quite a bit. Their center last season was the Polish hammer Marcin Gortat, and he played 25 minutes per night. Dwight Howard is their new center. I don't think that Dwight Howard is playing 25 minutes per night. I think he's playing 30. 31 minutes per night, and a lot of Markieff's playing time came as the backup center as Scott Brooks went to the Otto Porter Kelly Oubre 3-4 combination. So the decision's going to have to come. If those extra 7 minutes at center are gone, does that get taken directly away from Markieff, or does Brooks prefer to play Morris at the four and take those 7 minutes away from Kelly Oubre? Regardless, I don't think that all 7 minutes of those would come away from Oubre, meaning that they don't all come from Markieff, you could see 3 or 4 minutes from either guy, five or 2 minutes split between those two guys. Regardless, Markieff, another year older, could see his efficiency dip and could see some of that playing time dip by the arrival of Dwight Howard. And it's really important to note, again, they don't play the same position. Quite clearly, Markieff is listed as a power forward. So if you're not really thinking about it, you might not see how the Dwight Howard arrival could impact Markieff. But you can look how everything pushes down and how all these minutes get distributed. That's what I try and do, what I try and look at, and it is important to pay attention. Now, I could be very wrong on this, and maybe Markieff is healthy and plays 29 a night. I'd be pretty stunned if that's the case. But I think that he is at significant risk of losing some of that playing time that he saw last season, that saw him be a top 120 player. Could slide outside the top 140, even top 150 this season. I think that's a realistic expectation. So not a great off-season for the Morris boys, with injuries and signings in Washington and Boston getting healed and being executed. Guys, if you do enjoy this podcast, go and leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcast, and you can also subscribe on Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, and on Spotify, and on YouTube. Smash subscribe, give it a thumbs up. Shout out to Elliot Klass, who's been putting up all of the fantastic graphics for the show. He's doing a great job. Go follow him on Twitter, Elliot Klass, KLASS. Go follow him and give him a shout out for the great work that he's doing, and also shout out to Jeff.
My name is Jeff.
And Elliot, who are handling the Instagram account. Go and give those guys a shout out as well. Good luck in the Dynasty Drafts. Good luck in the new Dynasty Drafts, a couple of which start in a couple of days' time. Check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network, guys. We are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Jaren Jackson Jr.